Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoy today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. Welcome, Jeanette Hernandez. Thank you for joining us today. Great to have you here. And
nice to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And to start, I'd like to, a lot of people may not be familiar with you. So tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and how you got into the insurance industry.
If I tell you, I'm going to age myself, but I will. It was my first job out of college, and I looked in the Sunday want ad section, and State Farm was hiring for an auto claim rep. So it was the highest paying job out of college, and I took it. That was over 30 years ago.
So you started when you were 12.
See what a flatterer you are. Exactly. But I was really blessed. I started out with, just such a great company in the industry, just a pillar of training claims individuals. So it was a good springboard for my career. I have worked for tier ones, super regionals, and probably every position you can think of in claims. I was a chief claims officer for a TPA out here in California. And I think that was my first realization of, I got a broader view, right? Because we had so many carriers for clients that we were more alike than we chose to be, right? Everybody thinks they've got this secret sauce, but in reality, we're fighting the same battles. We face the same challenges, and we're really trying to deliver the same promise to our insureds in the best way that we can. And that was when I got the idea for Claim Connect, which I founded in 2019. And it was a way, because I know through my claims career, especially when I was switching into lines of business I wasn't familiar with, it was really my service providers, because of that same kind of view they had of the industry of multiple carriers. If I had an issue and it was in there, they were a SME for it, they were more than willing to help me learn and educate me on whatever I needed to know, and then just be a really good service provider to provide what we were looking for our insureds. So that was a really great opportunity for me to give back some of what I had learned in my 30-year career.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of people overlook how invaluable having the right business partners can be.
Incredibly, yes.
Coming from the industry myself, having worked on both sides, you really see it. I think, a lot of carriers go down the road of, well, we've got, 50,000 employees. We can certainly fix this problem ourselves. But at the end of the day, they often struggle with some of those problems. Claim Connect, that was your idea. What exactly is that?
So someone actually said this to me about a month ago, and I had to think about it, but I thought, what a fabulous compliment. They're like, you're kind of like the Yelp for insurance. And I said, that's a good way to put it, because the smaller to mid-size service providers, a lot of times either they don't have the marketing budgets that the large providers have. And so you see companies recycle through the top 2, 3, 4 service providers, and they're A, not finding partnerships, but also it may not be the right fit for their book of business. And so Claim Connect is a platform where a claims professional can go on, search by their line of business or by service that they're looking for, and find providers. And then carriers will also, who support their providers, can go in and leave comments. So you've got some real life feedback about the service that individual provider is giving you.
Okay, so if I'm a, head of claims somewhere, and I need a subrogation vendor.
Excellent example.
Exactly. Yeah. So rather than going to Google and kind of saying, who's a subrogation provider and not knowing what I'm going to get, I can go to your site and I can put in subrogation providers, and you'll pull up a bunch of different options. Are these all like, are you vetting them somehow?
Yes, well, the people that come in and they become our partners with Claim Connect IQ, they are vetted from a financial, good standing in business. But there are providers on there where it's just we're aggregating it because again, that there is no full Google search to find everybody in subrogation, right? So
Right.
we've aggregated it as a service to the carriers. So the vetting on the people who we have not done background checks on, that's where the reviews become really powerful.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're doing now you're doing more than just Claim Connect. I mean, you've got a bunch of balls in the air, it seems like. What are some of the other things you're working on?
Well, by working closely with so many service providers in the industry, I really it's been about 10 years, but I really got involved in insurtech companies because, sitting on the buyer side, I know that we're risk averse. We're very slow to buy. And so when there's new companies trying to break into the P&C industry, you really have to have a tribe of people who are willing to look at what product or service you're trying to provide and test it out and then support you. And when I started to get deeper and deeper into that, I really honed in on go-to-market strategy for companies that were breaking into the P&C industry. And I've done, like I said, mostly tech, but also service providers. And the current company that I'm working with, REMA Roundtables, they have the most futuristic idea that they've been around 30 years in the financial services industry, but it's something that we desperately need, which is collaboration.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So the financial services industry is really, somewhat of a reactionary industry as well. And if we're 30 years behind them, what does that say about us?
Exactly. Yep.
I love the collaboration idea because, having worked for different insurers myself, it's you have a lot of good ideas out there. But you also have some things that are just, you're just kind of muddled in the status quo, and we've always done it this way. And it seems like nobody really wants to be first. Like there's a lot of, hey, if you try it first and it works, then we'll try it. So how does that work? You bring people together around a table to literally talk through ideas?
Yes, it's and usually I have to first explain what they're not, right? Because we hear the word roundtable a lot, particularly say at a conference.
Right.
But that's a one and done. You don't know who's going to attend. There's no follow up. So if you do have a good conversation, you will probably never see the people that you were in that meeting with again. What Ariam has done over the past 30 years is by specific job title, so truly your peer of what you're doing, or by I'll say bank fraud, credit card fraud. It may be
Right.
by a topic. They will find individuals to come together in these round tables, but it's a membership, it's a community that they're building.
Okay.
And what they do is so it's got antitrust. So first of all, you can share freely. And second of all, because it's a membership, you grow with the group. So they have groups that have been, people leave and change companies, but for the most part, that have stayed together for over 20 years. And I went to one of those, and I'm like, why do you keep coming back? And they said, there's two things. One, I have no place else in the industry where I can meet with my peers and collaborate. And then when I leave, I know I have a trusted group of people that if something happens, I can pick up the phone and call them. And it's different from my normal peers or my normal reach out people because we talk about the issues that impact our jobs together in the meetings. So there's kind of this extra layer of trust and
Right.
I'll say subject matter experts, right? They know exactly what you're going through because they either do the same job or they deal with the same information.
Wow, that's great. So it sounds, almost like an advanced version for executives of, say, something like Rise. Where, they're bringing together younger folks that are just kind of getting out into the industry, but this is more senior people that are really looking top down across their organization and the industry and saying, we've got a real problem with fraud. We know fraud's a huge issue. We know third-party litigation funding's a huge issue. We can't figure this out by ourselves. So we collaborate as a group to maybe come up with solutions to counter, what's re really, harming us and consumers and businesses.
Correct. Yes. And I don't know if you recall, but it's probably been 20 years. PCI used to have a similar kind of concept where they brought leaders together every quarter, but we really focused on regulatory issues and how it
Sure.
impacted us.
Yep.
So I think that's probably a better example because while Rise does amazing things with younger people in the industry, again, it's you go once a year where this is 3 times a year, plus you have virtual meetings as well. And the really unique thing that they do is quarterly benchmarking. So if there is an issue, say ALA costs, you're able to see how you compare to your peers. Are you above or below the line? And then we also, going full circle back to service providers, because they are subject matter experts in a certain topic, they will come in and also share what they're seeing with the in the industry. So, for example, we just had a chief claims officer roundtable, and every roundtable that we've done in insurance so far, one of the biggest issues is hiring and retaining talent. Right? How do we attract them, and then how do we keep them? So the people in the room shared some of the ideas that they're doing to work or focus more on career development. And then after we started to chat, I invited in someone who does staffing. And so they talked to all kinds of different candidates, and they shared with the group exactly what people are looking for. What are candidates most focused on? And so you get this really interesting, specific examples from people who do your job, but then you're also getting people who see the industry on a broader basis.
And you bring up, I mean, the talent acquisition is a huge issue. I mean, when I look at the issues and obviously fraud, obviously injury severities, but I put talent acquisition right up there at the top.
Yes. At
Because
all levels. At all levels, right?
Oh, and it's
Yeah.
amazing, when you look at the I've heard this and I've read it a couple of places, but claims professionals are the fastest retiring group of people in the country. And it seems like there's a group that are like in their 50s, 60s that are on their way out. And then you get, younger folks, like my son is an adjuster, coming out of college. But there's like this gap in there of like 20 years. And it seems like there's going to be a large amount of brain drain if we really don't get, top tier individuals hired and retained.
Yes, and that is a another thing with the roundtables, and we were actually chatting about it when we were at Rise. And so if you've got a group of individuals, like you're saying, in their 50s and 60s, they're on the back nine, but they've got all this, not just leadership skills, but the technical skills that they need to pass on. There's nothing inside carriers for that knowledge transfer. So these roundtables are also a way, at least in my viewpoint, when I was in my, say, early 30s, I knew I wanted to get up the food chain, but you had to wait 20 years because
Oh,
people
yeah.
didn't retire, right? Now, with that gap, you're getting people who might have been a manager for 3 years, maybe an AVP for 2 years, and then they're now VPs. And so they're
Right.
struggling openly, saying, "Look, I don't have enough technical experience, so I need some help." And so this fosters that kind of knowledge transfer. And honestly, it's not just the 50 and 60 year olds in claims. We also have some people in on the service provider side who are on the back nine who are a wealth of knowledge and have no place to share it.
True, true. And that, as I think, and I think, we've probably talked about this before, but when you think of, some of the gaps that are there for insurers, I mean, it seems like there is that the insurer and then the service providers. And it seems like there is a bit of a gap there.
Yes, there definitely is. And I think that technology has not only made our claims industry much smaller. I see more and more companies who are expanding into, say, London or Dubai. And so when that technology makes our world smaller, it's that service provider who either provides the software or the process improvement or the service from the soft that you get from purchasing the software. And so I think that has made us as an industry a little bit more collaborative. But to your point, it's the service providers who see who's doing something right, who's implementing the right way, and who's seeing an ROI on the investments that they're making.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's, when you think about it, having come from the industry, you're working for a large global carrier and you see things their way. I mean, it's just this is the way we do it. And we're only one company. On this side, you work with, dozens and dozens of different carriers, and you see
Correct.
so many different things and, so many things that are done right, but so many things where you just shake your head. You're like, how do you make money doing it this way? And I think, bringing that together, it's that collaboration. I mean, collaboration is hugely important within your own company, within your own work groups, across companies, but also really across the ecosystem of everybody that is really able to give you that kind of global view.
Yes. And it was interesting, the last day of our Chief Claims Officer roundtable, I had done a slide and I did 15 companies on the left side, 15 companies on the right. And I said, other than Verisk, because we all work with Verisk at some point through our careers, and I said, do you know any of the other names of the companies on this list? And everybody kind of looked for a minute and said, no, I don't. And I said, well, the first row of companies are insurtech companies that we put out of business because we didn't buy and they were just ready to go belly up. But someone whispered in their ear, more than likely probably an investor, and said, hey, if you go onto the plaintiff side of the business, they buy fast and they invest in technology. So those are 15 companies who are now providing technology to the plaintiff side of the house.
Yeah, and that's a huge point. It is, the plaintiff side of the industry is years ahead of where we are.
Oh, yeah, I said.
And they're killing us, right? With the third party litigation, the funding, the AI use of, creating their demands. And we're sitting here in 1995, and we talk about AI and we talk about technology, and we have a big insurtech conference, and there are really, really good programs out there. But to your point, I mean, the sales cycle on this side, on the carrier side, is, it can be, 2 to 3 years. Whereas on the plaintiff side, they see something they like and they're grabbing it,
Oh,
instantly.
and they have
So,
funds, a lot of
and they
funds.
have a lot of funds. Yeah. And, and if you think about it, we, on the insurance side, there's a lot of funds as well, but I think that the approach is far different. And I think that the plaintiff attorneys have woken up to the fact that, they're at the 50-yard line and we're just coming out of the end zone.
Correct.
And they have a good, they've got a good number of year lead on us. And I don't know that it's something that can, it's probably not insurmountable if people really, collaborated and put their heads together. But, it's tough to come back, when you're that far behind. And, the thing is, it impacts, us not only as companies, but we pay higher insurance premiums. Businesses pay higher insurance premiums and pass those costs on to us in the form of, higher costs for goods and services. And, at the end of the day, it's the regular, regular folks like us that suffer.
Correct. And I think most people don't realize that when they go and get an attorney, that the extra money that's getting paid to the attorney, plus their extra settlements that they're getting, that all has to come back into the premium dollars, right? There's no money tree growing.
Right.
But you
Well,
bring up a really great point, your football analogy, and I use it a lot. And I say to people, if we were talking about sports, and if we were, if you were a quarterback, every week you're watching the reels and learning the playbook of
right.
the opposing team. We don't do that. And I can tell you that, like, if you went to something like AAJ, the plaintiff attorneys, they are very collaborative. They are tackling their issues together as an industry. And that's where we have to get better. We have to become more collaborative to solve some of the challenges, like nuclear verdicts that we're all
Right.
facing.
Oh yeah, and they, they have their conferences, and you'll see trends spread from state to state. And what was an issue in Florida 5 years ago, now is an issue in Georgia, right? So, state legislatures are stepping up to some extent, and they're enacting things, tort reform here and there. So it becomes a little bit harder to file frivolous litigation in Florida these days, where it was super easy 5 years ago. But now we're seeing in Georgia and in Missouri what was happening in Florida. And so they're very good at getting the message out. And, and you have, large firms gobbling up small firms and becoming, nationwide firms, where
Yes.
you're not seeing that in the world of, in the world of insurance. And, part of that is we are a highly regulated industry. And if, let's say, all of a sudden State Farm went out and bought up the top 10 carriers and became this huge, huge carrier, there would be a lot of issues with that. Whereas the local law firm goes and buys up 800 law firms coast to coast, nobody cares.
Right.
And they're really not an overly regulated industry. And it puts us as an industry at a huge disadvantage, which again, it impacts the people, the consumers and the businesses. And it's just a, it's a long-term a recipe for, economic, disaster.
Agreed. Agreed. Yep.
So, Jeanette, this has been great. I mean, we could spend hours talking about this.
We could.
And I'm sure we'll probably be seeing more of each other with changes that are going on with people that we both know.
Yes.
And look, I'm looking forward to being able to collaborate with you further, and as other folks in my family join your ranks, I'm thrilled that they'll be able to bring their knowledge to your organization. And like to thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. And any way we can share and get people talking and working together, I'm always willing to jump in. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And if anybody who's listening would like to be a guest on our show, just hop on over to subroiq.com and hit the podcast button. Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.